Hello. You know, before I get into this segment, I feel it's only fair to offer you this disclaimer. I have struggled with mental illness since I was in college, particularly in undergrad. And I struggled and didn't realize it. And of course, what I learned over time with more and more tests and more consultations is that my depression was the result of a chemical imbalance. So it requires constant treatment, but as my doctor said, it's no different than if you had high blood pressure or diabetes. It's an illness that still needs to be treated. And I thought it was a good time to bring it up because we as people of color still struggle with talking about it. It has gotten better. There are more and more organizations that are coming out that are talking about it. People are using their own personal experiences to talk about it. So I thought today that I would look at the fact and remind us that we are not alone. I mean, there are people in the Bible that remind us that those who struggle with mental health are not alone. So I thought I'd give a few examples. Let's look at Hannah. In 1 Samuel 1:1-20, Hannah longed for a baby. You probably know the story. Hannah's a woman who knows grief. She's wanted a baby so badly, but her womb was painfully empty. And during this time, to show a sign of wealth, most men would show their wealth by livestock, land, and how many children they had. So for Hannah, not only was it frustrating for her, but it caused her to be mocked and taunted by her husband's second wife, who had children, and required her to weep to the point that she couldn't eat. And that's one of the things we face as a symptom in depression, is that we find ourselves where we don't want to eat, we don't want to get out of bed. And Hannah falls into the same space. In fact, each year, Hannah and her husband visit a place called Shiloh to worship and make sacrifices to God. One particular year, Hannah's praying outside the temple, as it says in verse 10, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Hannah's pleas to the Lord for a child were so raw and desperate that one day as she was crying and she was seen praying outside the temple, that a priest thought that she was drunk. You find that in 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, verse 13. So yet in her sorrow and desperation, Hannah didn't give up. She kept seeking the Lord and worshiping him. And when we're facing that pain and grief or any mental illness, we also can remember to be like Hannah and continue to turn to God. Another example would be Elijah, who actually reached the point of burnout. And burnout is another place that we find ourselves when we're dealing with mental struggles. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, who's a prophet, an incredible man of God, and at the height of one of his biggest triumphs, I mean, God has used him to defeat 450 prophets of Baal in an epic display of power and glory. And in addition to that, God has brought rain to the land after 3 years of drought. But now there's Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, who's determined to kill Elijah. And as a result, he runs for his life, and he's afraid, he's exhausted, and he prays that he would die because he's so tired, he's so frustrated. And that's how we sometimes find ourselves. Our mental fatigue makes us feel like just giving up. But God doesn't get on Elijah's case for feeling like this. Instead, he basically gives him what he needs. He gives him food and he gives him rest. Elijah fell asleep, and when he was awakened by an angel, the angel told him to get up and eat. As it says in verse 5 and verse 6, he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. And it happens a second time. Elijah had a lot of work set out for him. God knew that he had an incredible challenge for Elijah, but he knew he wasn't ready. So when Elijah travels to Horeb, which is called the mountain of God, and waits for the Lord to pass by, God doesn't tell Elijah everything that he has in mind for him, knowing that he's still feeling scared and overwhelmed in the desert. Instead, God waited until he was ready to take the next step. He let Elijah get some rest, and he knew what he needed. God showed up as his comforter, as God shows up for us. And we can always trust that God sees our bigger picture. The other example I'd like to give is Job. Job 1 through 42, we talk about, he's often used as an example of why God lets bad things sometimes happen to good people. Anyone who knows about what happened to Job remembers that he was referred to as the greatest man among all people, and that he was wealthy. He had land, he had family, he had all sorts of possessions and cattle. But God is still gracious to us, and God knew that Job would continue to worship him. I mean, he served God faithfully all his life. But that one day when he lost 11,000 animals, all of his servants, and even worse, his 7 sons and 3 daughters. I mean, the sorrow and confusion that he must have felt from knowing how much God loved him, it would allow this to happen to him. And this is what happens to us sometimes. It's like, as if losing everything wasn't enough, then he got sick. He got those sores all over his body, the soles of his feet. His wife and his 3 closest friends told him he should just curse God and die, because clearly he had done something to deserve the treatment he was getting. And Job got to a point of desperation where he says in 7:16, "I despise my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. My days have no meaning." This is the kind of pain that one feels in those moments of suffering. And that's a reminder, though, that God has still not left us. Job reminds him in chapter 30, verse 20, he says, "I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me." It's this moment of being reminded that even when we feel like God's not there, he's still there. But these are examples just to remind you that, for a couple of reasons. One, that we all struggle with moments of sadness. Some of us find ourselves in an actual diagnosis of depression. Some of us just feel depressed. These are different. And then there's also those points of shame. I encourage you not to let anyone make you feel ashamed of these feelings of sadness, these feelings of depression. And if it feels like it has gotten a hold of you in a way that you can't shake it, I also encourage you to get some help. But most of all, when someone tells you that there's something wrong with you, or that you're filled with demons because you are going through this, remind them that, just like the other examples, our greatest example is David, who went through so many emotions that it was hard to imagine how David managed to stay above. I mean, David was a great man, a great king, but David's mental health went up and down. And the one thing that remained the same was his reliance on God to help him in times of need. I mean, in Psalm 13, David says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" And after he poured out his feelings to God, he says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." I encourage us to continue to hold to that. And when we're struggling with our mental health, just remember that we have examples like Hannah, Elijah, Job, and David to encourage us and remind us that we're never alone, that God is always there.